Grab your Bibles and turn to the book of Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verses 31. Acts chapter 4, verse 31 says this. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. I'll read it again. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. The grass withers and the flower fades. The word of God shall stand forever. On today, if you bear with me for a few minutes, we're going to talk from the subject. We've been asking questions for the last 8 weeks, 9 weeks, and we have one more question for you. So our question for the day is, what does Pentecost mean to you? What does Pentecost mean to you? And our subtopic is, we have been transformed to transfer. We have been transformed to transfer. What does Pentecost mean to you? Transformed to transfer. Again, 50 days after resurrection is typically when we as the Christian culture celebrate or remember this day of Pentecost. Pentecost was not a new phenomenon. It was a part of the Feast of Meetings, so it always occurred on, we always celebrate this on this day. And even in Hebrew history, the Feast of Meetings that you find in Exodus as well as Leviticus was not, it was an occurrence that happened even in the days of old. And so as we have matured on, we still celebrate this Feast of Meetings. And so it has been placed 50 days after Pentecost for us to celebrate that, the 50 days rather after resurrection, to celebrate the fact that it was 50 days after the resurrection in Jesus' time where they celebrated the presence of God as the people of God were given a powerful deposit, this deposit of the Holy Spirit. So let's walk with me for a minute because we have to get to this place of Acts chapter number four. In order for us to have this Pentecostal power, you got to be saved first. So a commitment to Jesus plus power equals transformation. A commitment to Jesus plus power equals transformation. What we have in our culture, we have an issue that we have people that are claiming power because they have a Bible. We have people that are claiming power because they've learned how to pray. We have people that are claiming power because they send a check to a foreign country every other quarter. Commitment, a surrendering to Jesus Christ, now puts us in the position to have power, and that power now transforms us so that we can be a part of the transformation in the lives of others. So I would suggest to us that there are many of us that are claiming to have power that we're not even saved. Because to have power says that I now have the power of the Lord now has changed me, and I am guided, I am ordered by the power of the Holy Spirit, not by any other entity. How will they know that you are my children? How will they know that you are my disciples? Not by the flags that we raised, but by the power of the Holy Ghost that lives inside of us, that is transforming our behaviors and our attitude to mirror that of Jesus Christ. All right, I knew it was going to be one of those kind of Sundays, because we want to claim power, but we live very low lives. We want to claim being close to Jesus and call out scriptures, and we quote all these scriptures, and we quote scriptures to everybody else. But the scriptures becoming life inside of us is a different story. We have been transformed to transfer. If we're going to really celebrate Pentecost, we have to have given ourselves completely in surrenderance to God first. So let me challenge us as we get going with this. If you have not surrendered your everything, all I have is all I give, if you haven't given God all that you have, I question you, according to the scriptures, by the fruit we bear, if you have really been saved. All right. All right. Because if we have been saved, now we have been given this gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit now leads us into all truth, as John describes in John chapter 14. So we cannot say that we are believing, we're not living according to the scriptures. Now listen, I understand that all of us, we are part of sin nature, so we won't be sinless, but we should sin less. All right, I'll try this out. We're not going to be sinless, but we ought to sin less. Is that right? Sesame Emoji praise across the screen and say, that's right, Rev. So that means every aspect of this book, from how we spend our money to how we spend our time to how we look at the injustices of our land, is all navigated through the scriptures. You do understand that the Bible talks about justice. It has more scriptures in the category of justice than it does in any other category. So we cannot become silent in certain areas where we're uncomfortable if the Bible speaks about it. All right. What do you appreciate about Pentecost? What I want to submit to us is that our appreciation about Pentecost must be that we have allowed the power of the Lord to now rest and rule within us. And so we are now changed from the inside out. And we have not been changed from the inside out for us to make a logo look good or a denomination look good. We have been changed so that now we can be the transforming agent in somebody else's life. There are people watching what the church is doing. And they're laughing at the church because we can't even come together on one issue that the scripture talks about. Because we are so divided by decals and by flags. We as the body of Christ must be willing to deny ourselves. We're not a part of a category where there is a ruler or someone that has to stand over us here on the earth. Our allegiance is to God. And God has given us something called love letter. And for some of us, it's a rule book. We want to go against everything for us to live by to guide us because we have been transformed. To transfer. This day of Pentecost, as we celebrate it today, cannot be just a moment where we have a liver quiver and we feel as if we have received some supernatural power. Well, then we walk away from this place and that supernatural power has not become livable inside of us. Then we just really had a liver quiver. We did not have an encounter with power. And I want to suggest to us today that as believers in Jesus Christ, that we must make sure that we are living accountable and according to God's word, no matter what category puts us in here on the earth, we are held accountable to the truth of the scriptures. In our passage today, in Acts chapter 4, Peter and John get in trouble because Pentecost wasn't just a Sunday going to meeting thing for them. Pentecost was not just having a liver quiver of receiving the power and everyone speaking in different tongues as we see in Acts chapter 2. No, Pentecost for Peter and John was a livable process. It was who they were. They did not say one thing on Sundays, but on other days of the week they lived something else. The banner of Jesus Christ was their banner until the day they died. They didn't have multiple banners. They didn't have multiple causes. You see, for the Christian church today, we have multiple causes. We have different banners that we raise at different moments. The banner of Christ must be the only banner that we have. The banner of my blackness doesn't mean anything because I'm a Christian. The banner of you being a Republican, an independent, whatever it is, it doesn't mean anything. Why? Because you are a Christian. Not just first, but Christian, period. All right. Because we have the word of God in us. We have the Holy Spirit living within us. We have now been transformed not to transfer people to our ideology, but to transfer people to understand who Jesus really is. And preaching Jesus got them in trouble. And that same sermon got them out of trouble. So let's look at the passage with me. We're going to start real quick in Acts chapter 3. If you're taking notes, write this down. First thing is that there is, if you really have been transformed to transfer, there is an expectation. There is an expectation. Here in chapter 1, chapter 3 rather, of Acts, we have Peter and John on their way to the temple. So this just wasn't a Pentecost Sunday moment. This is what they, this was their livable life. This is what they did. They had a lifestyle of going to the house of the Lord. And because this was their lifestyle, everybody say lifestyle. It wasn't just a Sunday morning thing, but they did this daily. And because they did it daily, the text says that they came across in the temple courts this man that was lame. And this man looked at them, expecting them to give them something. And what did they say? They said, look at verse number 8. They said, number 6, silver and gold I do not have. What I have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Walk. So listen, y'all. They are living and walking in Pentecostal power. Y'all see what I'm saying? Hope y'all see where we're going this morning. This is not just a Sunday morning ritualistic thing. This is supposed to be the power that's navigating the steps of our lives. That everything we do it with this Pentecostal power. So how I react and respond online or in live scenes, it's all according to the power that's in me, this Holy Ghost power. And because Peter and John didn't see Pentecost as just a one-moment thing, they walked this thing out. When they came upon the man, they spoke the truth. They said, listen, we don't have money to give you, but what you really need, you see, people always have expectations. They want stuff from you. Yeah, they have expectations because you claim to be saved and all that. They have expectations that you should do certain things because Christendom to them has been you giving me, not them giving anything back. Right? And so instead of us giving in to the wants of people, we gotta really see what their need is. You see, my parents knew that I wanted some stuff, but some stuff they didn't give me because they knew I didn't need it. But they gave me what I needed. Isn't that how the power of the Lord works? That the Lord doesn't give in and answer every little thing that we may desire, because that may not be his desire for us, but he always satisfies our needs. If he has enough wisdom to feed the birds of the air and clothe the lily of the seas, don't you know he's going to take care of your needs? Peter and John said, listen, we recognize you have expectation of us. But the expectation that you want us to give you some money, but we don't have that. But what we do have, we give to you. Get up and walk. And it's because they were activating and walking in Pentecostal power that now gets them in trouble. Because now the people, the rulers of the day are now upset because Peter and John healed this man. Y'all, there's an expectation. I want you to know there's an expectation on your life. People are expecting you to respond in certain ways. They're expecting you to be upset about any little thing that happens. They're expecting you to act all out of character. But don't you give in to those expectations. You be the answer for what God wants the people around you to experience. People want to pull your strings and make you respond in certain ways. No. You don't give into that because they want to see you act crazy. They want to see you do some silly things. But you address them with the truth. I know you want this, but what you need is for me to express God's love to you. What you need is to experience God. Don't give in to the wants of our culture. Let's give in to the need of their heart, which is to experience Jesus. And how about this? What if God needs somebody to experience Jesus through you? If we have been transformed to transfer, we can't give in to what the world does and what they say is okay. We have been redeemed for a reason, for a cause bigger than us. That is for us to be the reflection of the identity of God in our lives. This Pentecostal power says that we have the power. Y'all understand that? This resurrection power that raised Christ from the dead is the same power that now lives within us. So why would we give in to everything else outside of that power that's within us? I know why. It's because we really don't believe we have power. Some of us as Christians really don't believe that we have the power to stand and withstand anything the world offers. So since we don't believe it, we give in to what the world gives us. There is an expectation. The world wants you to give in. The world wants you to be the answer of all of their questions. And that's not your cause. Your cause is to stand up for Jesus Christ and to speak the truth to what happens. Now listen, not only is there an expectation, there is an unsettling. Keep on reading with me in the scripture. Now go to chapter 4. Chapter 4, verses 1 through 3 says this: the priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. Verse 2, they were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of the men grew to about 5,000. Listen, when you speak the truth of what you know according to the scriptures, when you speak against the injustices, there will be people that will rise up against you, and they will say you are the one that's causing the unsettlement. But the unsettlement is actually caused by those that want to turn from the truth. Now look at this. There is an unsettling now because Peter and John were doing, all they were doing was preaching the truth. According to Jesus Christ. Preaching the truth. Now we got to know what the truth is, right? So they were preaching about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And because of the truth they were espousing, the leaders of the church partnered with the leaders of the government to seize these preachers and put them in jail for speaking the truth. They spoke what Jesus said. And in speaking what Jesus said, got them in trouble. So what we have in our day and time, we have people that want to speak what Jesus says, but from their context. And we will use scripture verses to back up and to lead out the conversation. Although the conversation, the rhetoric doesn't match the context of the scripture. You know, have y'all, I've heard some of these people espouse some things, and I'm saying to myself, well, self, my goodness, I've never read that like that before. I don't know how you get this out of that in the context that any fool can take one verse and build a whole platform on it. But I'm talking about people that say they love the Lord and are deep in bibliology and theology, how we can take one verse and build a whole system around it. And then to espouse it as if it came from manna from God. As if God woke me up in the middle of the night and told me, no, don't lie on him, don't lie on him. And there's an unsettling because people are warring against what you claim to be the truth. And they're coming to understand that your truth is not the real truth. Therefore, there's an unsettling in the land. And in this text today, there were the religious leaders and the government leaders that were now coming against Peter and John so much they put them in jail because they were preaching about Jesus Christ. You know, if we're going to deal with this, we got to deal with the root of the unsettling. See, if we're not careful, we will deal with what we see right now. And we won't deal with the root cause of why we're seeing what we're seeing. You see, the root cause, the reason for Peter and John being put in jail, because Peter and John were dealing with the root cause of the nature. They were dealing with sin. Okay, y'all don't believe me? Go back to chapter 3. Go back to chapter 3 and look at verses number 17 and 18. Chapter 3. There it is. Now, brethren, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that this Jesus would suffer. And so he says to them in verse 18, now you repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. they were dealing with the root issue. The root issue is God used them to do what had to be done to Christ, but it was because of their sin. Let's deal with our root issue. The root issue what we're dealing with today is sin. I would never, and I charge all preachers, don't stand up and use this sacred hour to defend anybody bombing a police station. That's foolishness. Don't stand here and defend anybody looting someone's business, burning down their homes and their life's business. I won't stand here and support that, but at the same time, I can't stand here and not deal with the root issue. In January of 1619, when the first slave ship came, the Portuguese were used by the Europeans to bring a slave ship over here from Africa. You got to deal with the root issue. You got to deal with the root issue that in 1915 to 1850, 1832, how they used slaves to build government army bases so that they could build an army, but then they had to use the slaves because the other army was coming up against them, how they used one thing to defeat another thing, but they end up having to help the slaves in return. We cannot talk about how people are so angry because of what happened to this to Floyd there in Indianapolis. But we have to deal with the fact that the reason why black people are in such upheaval and so frustrated, it all goes back to, man, God, why are you taking me through? It all goes back to the idea of home ownership. You say, Mac, what are you talking about? I'm glad you asked. Home ownership is part of the root cause of why black and brown America cannot experience the life of being an American. Journey back with me. You all remember the Nazis, right? The Nazis would put together what they call ghettos for those Jews to keep them separated from the pure blood of the Germans and everybody else. And these ghettos were set up to separate, distinguish, to divide their culture. And America, we saw that, and we didn't even change the name of it. We call them ghettos in America. We didn't even care to change the name to make it seem like we were trying to help the folks. There are less black people today that own houses than did in 1963. Home ownership says that you recognize me as an individual, a whole individual in this economy. And they have these ghettos in where they call them inner cities now, where they put those that are disadvantaged on the outskirts of town so to make the inskirts, the in city, the town people still feel good about themselves. And you have what's happening in Minneapolis, in Houston, all over the land, people that have been held in disadvantaged states for generations. Is it right to loot, to burn down a police station? No, it ain't right. But is it right to not see the humanity of what's happening to people today? That I bet if there a man had his knee on a dog, there would have been more uprising than people seeing a man on his knee off a human being. And you wonder why people don't want to have a conversation anymore. Yo, we've got to tell the truth. And if the truth lands us where people on Facebook and Snapchat and all that talk about us. Come on. Shoot, people been clutching that purse all my life when I walk around, so ain't no big deal to me. I look the part. Yeah, yeah. So it doesn't matter if people don't like me. I've lived in this skin all my 45 years now, so I'll be all right. But listen, if you're going to not like me and not like my family, not like me because I'm preaching the truth of Jesus Christ. And if that's the case, I ain't like you either. The real issue, everybody, hear my heart, is sin. We can make light of it, and I'm trying not to. We can laugh about it, and this is not a laughing moment. But the real issue is sin. And this is what Peter and John, they were preaching against. And yet, church leaders and government leaders came together to try to silence their voices. You know, we've got to be very careful. And I'm all for partnering with our local leaders. All for that. I mean, I meet with our local leaders, and I pray for them every week. I send them text messages. They send me text messages. We meet, and I partner with them. But I'm not going to partner with a political party or with a person just so that they can like me. I stand, We stand for the truth of God, read clearly, written clearly in the Bible. That's all we have, everybody. And in our quest of trying to get along, getting along for the sake of getting along, it's out the door. Because this world does not appreciate the stance that we have regarding sin. If you can't appreciate the stance we have regarding sin, you're not going to appreciate the stance we have regarding the truth of what this book says about every situation. There's not a moral situation today that this Bible does not speak to. But do I want to read it and hear it? Do I want to add it to my life? It's a different question. But look at what Peter and John did. They did not stop preaching. They stood up to the unsettling of the powers that be. Y'all look at it, I'm not making up nothing. It says here that they continued preaching. They went so far as they preached, but they had the people of power had to be careful how they dealt with them because others were believing their message. Listen, everybody, there's power in unity. When we can stand together on God's word, don't stand together with me because I'm black and you like black people. No. Don't stand with me because I'm bald and you bald and all bald men got to hang together. No. Don't stand with me because I got a beard and you want a beard. You think we all hang together because we beard. No. Stand together with me because I'm standing on the truth of God's word. This is what legitimizes us. It's God's word. And they kept on preaching, so they had to be careful in how they dealt with them because there were more followers. The text says up to 5,000 were now watching how the church leaders and the government handled these men of God. Listen, saints, if we can just get on the same page, if we can get on the same page, the eyes of accountability will be upon our preachers, will be upon our pastors, will be upon our governmental leaders. If we as the church can just come together and speak the same rhetoric, believe the same thing, put our eyes of accountability on people, they will be mindful of how they respond. But if the church is divided, the world will run amok. All right. So I challenge all my brothers and sisters, all of us that are believers, all of us that are preachers, to make sure that what we're saying is rooted and planted in God's word before it comes out of our mouths. Because as soon as I say it as a leader, there are now people that I have influence with that's either going to help them get to where they want to be or I'm going to mess them up on their journey because I'm a leader. So make sure what you're saying is what the word says. Is that making sense for us? There is an unsettling, and I will say this and I move on. An unsettling is needed. An unsettling is needed. It's needed for us as, even in this time of this pandemic, to have this other divine encounter with God. Because if, as Americans, as human beings, we find some kind of closure and we find some comfortability when disappointments happen. So we've kind of gotten used to the pandemic. We've kind of gotten used to not showing up. Kind of gotten used to our political people getting on TV and telling us the next thing they just found out and all this. So we've kind of gotten used to the new normal. Got used to wearing masks. And if anybody come to my house, I spray everybody down with Lysol. I've gotten used to spraying folks with Lysol. I just spray them down with Lysol just to satisfy my mind. You know, I just come in with your hands up, Lysol, and turn around. All right. Let me check your temperature. Where you been? Who you been talking to? Just to satisfy my own mind. But we've got to be very careful that we don't become comfortable with the change, that we miss what God is trying to reveal to us. And God is talking even now. There must be an unsettling. This is the time for the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ to not be settled in anything that the world has to offer. But we've got to be settled in being unsettled. We're not going to give in to any of this silly stuff. We're going to stand on the truth of God's word. And wherever that puts us, it has to be okay. Peter and John are put in jail. But it did not change their rhetoric. They kept on preaching Jesus. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? They didn't change their sermon to appease the government. They didn't change their sermon to appease the Orthodox Jews. No, they kept on preaching Jesus, who came for the Jews, the Gentiles, the Samaritans, for everybody. They didn't change to appease anybody. Nor should we change to appease anybody. The sermon of our lives is not in our race, our ethnicity, our political party. The sermon of our lives is Jesus. All right. So Peter and John deals with the sin of what they did by killing Jesus. So not only is there an expectation, not only is there an unsettling. I got one more, then we'll be done. There is a divine response. There's an expectation, there's an unsettling, and there is a divine response. The passage in verse number 31 says this: after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. All right, now we're done. But write this down again. There is a divine response. When we all come together, you see what they said? After they prayed, the place where they were, they all came together. They were on one accord. There was a shaking in the midst. And I want to put an altar of your heart today, everybody, that we are in this season of shaking. God's divine response to what's happening now is the land, the earth is even crying out. Yeah, we have places where earthquakes are reoccurring now, more now than ever before. We have tsunamis happening. The earth is crying out. The earth is literally shaking, and we're acting like things are just normal. Well, this is how it's supposed to be. No. The earth is crying out, but yet humanity is acting as if, well, this is our new normal. There is no such thing as a new normal for a Christian. We live by faith every day, so nothing is normalized because we don't know what the Spirit is going to lead us to do. But there has to be a shaking. Last week we talked about this awakening moment. That when the one leper came back, he had an awakening moment. He realized that his body had changed. We are all living in this season. We need, this shaking moment must be an awakening moment for us. That God is trying to reveal some specific things to his people. But we cannot get caught up in our new normal, that we are missing what God is trying to reveal to us. This issue of injustice, it has not been a dormant issue. It's been around us for ever since the slaves were brought over in 1619. But because we don't see it, it's now our new normal. We don't know. I didn't know this was going on. The devil. Oh, I didn't know people live like that. The devil has confused you. It has never gone away, but we live in such new normals that we don't see things. But there has to be a shakening. And this is not to make anybody feel bad, but you've got to realize what's happening today. And allowing what you're seeing today shake you, shake your eyes and heart to be open to the reality of millions of people. That things may be well with you, but it's not well with everybody. You cannot change the whole world, but you can help somebody. And I pray now, because there are some people that are brown and black that are tired of talking. And because they're tired of talking, they're responding in ways that others will say, see, that's the problem with them. They don't want to come to the, where they've been to. We've been to the table. And I don't have to have a conversation about being black because I've been black. And if you have questions about history of blackness, you got Google. Learn some history. And then you can sit down with somebody like me and we can talk about it. But I should not have to come and have a conversation with you to make you feel good about me being black. There must be a shaking where our hearts are now open to want to know the struggles of my brother and my sister. You're not the answer to my struggle. Jesus is my answer, but you sure can help out the system. The injustices that we still deal with here in America, you could help it out. If you're red, black, brown, or white, make sure you go and vote. Go to your city council meetings. When you see some injustice, ask some questions. There's a shaking going on, everybody. Not only is the earth itself shaking, but humanity is shaking. People don't know what to believe anymore. Certain people get on TV, they espouse certain things, and because they are who they are, people will believe them. Although what they're saying is not the truth. It's the time for the church, you and I, to rise up and to offer some firm ground, some firm understanding in this season of shaking. Then they're going to look at the text. I'm not going to make up nothing. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Listen, y'all, this is what changes everything. This changes everything because everybody in that room was filled with the same power. It wasn't a black power. It wasn't a white power. It wasn't a school power. It wasn't my family name's power. All that stuff goes out the window. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. You understand what I'm saying? You understand what the scripture is saying to us? That all that we were before we gave our lives to Christ means nothing today. And there are many of us, we don't want to understand that because we hold on to, I was raised in the South and Dixieland. We want to hold on to all this stuff, and all that stuff means nothing. Now that I am a brand new creature, when I disown my brand new creaturelessness, I'm saying to God, what you've sent Christ to do ain't good enough for me. I like being where I'm from. I like this. I'm from this hood. I'm from this. No, man, that goes out the door. If we really own the fact that we're brand new creatures, we have now been given the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's this power of the Holy Spirit that keeps us all on the same page. Even when I come to the table with a different understanding of the scripture, the power of the Holy Spirit will allow us to sit down and have an intelligent conversation about it. Even when I don't understand why you say some of the things you say, I don't fall out with you because we have the same spirit in us. So now I'm willing to sit down and have a conversation because we are now united and vetted by the same source. The church. Pentecostal power. We have been transformed not to transfer and spew out our ignorance, but we have been transformed to transfer this power that now lives within us. Look at the text. It goes on to say, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Yeah. All right, I'm done. But being filled with the Spirit has now caused my entire mind to change. Being filled with the Spirit has now caused my heart to change. Transformation happens when we allow the Spirit to take control over us. That's why I say many of us, no matter what denomination, no matter what color, creed, all of us have issues because we have not given ourselves completely to the power of the Holy Spirit. We still like some of these parts of us. It's like a dad and mom sitting having a conversation with their daughter. She's going off to school. She comes back. She has a different way of thinking about things. Or son. I don't want people to think I'm talking about McKenzie. Or son, you know. Go out and find her. Come back with some different thoughts and some sharp dresses. And the dad says, this is not who you are. Throw those dresses away. Throw those jeans away, son. Everybody ought not be wearing skinny jeans. Matter of fact, none of y'all should be wearing skinny jeans. It says some things, but that's another sermon. Throw them away. But the son or the daughter says, I'm not. I'm going to keep a little bit of this because I like this part of me. It's like you and I. Christ has given us the power of the Holy Spirit. But we say to the power of the Lord, thank you for salvation. I'm glad I'm not going to hell. Thank you for this fire insurance. But there's a little piece of me that sometimes I got to be able to use these words because people won't understand what I'm saying if I don't say it like this. Got to have certain combos. Y'all know what I mean. Yeah. If we have literally given ourselves to the Lord, we must be willing to let go of all of that. And the hard thing is some of us, we want to maintain the pain. We want the rage to stay. But if you have the power of the Lord, and the text says here that all those that were in the room, they spoke boldly the word of God. Not boldly according to their gender or boldly according to their race. They spoke boldly about the word of God. I'll say this and I'm done. You've got to know more about God's word than you do everything else. Because it's God's word that sustains us. In those moments when I don't feel like reading the Bible because I have the word in me, it rises up. You got to have God's word in you. Because if not, you will not have the foundation to stand strong. There is a divine response even today. I believe God is calling and asking us as his sons and daughters to rise up, to speak the truth of what we know according to the justice of God's word, the righteousness of God's word. That we will not allow our brothers and sisters in humanity to live in this type of situation anymore. We've got to figure out ways to go and help feed somebody. Now, I may not be able to take my family up to Indianapolis, but I can find somebody around here, somebody in South Dallas, somebody in North, somebody in Waxahachie, and feed them. I can do my part somewhere, but what we cannot do is be silent about the situation. Yeah. We've got to raise our voices. We've got to use what God has given us to be the answer in the life of our world today. As we celebrate Pentecost Sunday, it's not about having a liver quiver. It's not about speaking in tongues and falling out. All that has its place. But it's about our lives changing. It's about us speaking boldly about Jesus Christ. And when we stand for Christ, it may get us in trouble, but that same stance for Christ will get us out of trouble. Peter and John were delivered from the hands of these the temple leaders and the government because the people of God came together and they prayed. If there's a response of the church today, we've got to never negate the fact that there's power in prayer. And when we get up off our knees, we got to have some do-you-lulu with that hallelujah. And get out there and share the power of God with the world around. Because they've never seen Christian folks of all kinds of backgrounds come together with one sentence of rhetoric that this is what Jesus says. And we go out and we help somebody. It's not about my logo, my banner, your banner. The only banner we have is the banner of God's word. And the only logo we have is the power of the Holy Ghost. So it's now our charge to rise up. For none of us to be settled anymore. The injustices of our land is now upon all of us to say something about. To help somebody along the way because we all have, as the church, the power of the Holy Ghost that now lives inside of us. And because of this power, we will no longer be settled. We will stand and we will confront whatever comes our way because my brother and my sister deserve the same thing that I have been given. They deserve the same thing. I will not give in to the new normal of our thinking. The power of the Holy Ghost says, and now I speak his word with boldness. Now we speak God's word, his righteousness, his power, his deliverance, his saving grace with boldness to this world that's lost and in need of a Savior. Everybody, we've got it. If you've given your life to him completely, you are saved. You have confessed your sins before the Father. You have now been given this gift of the Holy Spirit that now lives inside of you. And now that you have this power, it's up on you to allow the power to start transforming your heart and your mind. And as now you are being discipled by the power of the Holy Ghost, you now have been transformed to transfer. It's now our time to speak the truth about God, to tell the world that you do not have to respond this way, because the same transforming power that has changed me is the same transforming power that will change you. And you say, well, Reverend, what will they say? You will tell them, listen, I know that I don't know exactly what happened, but I do know one day I looked at my hands and my hands looked new. I looked at my feet, I started walking, and I had a new way of walking. I started talking, and I had a new way of talking because there was something inside of me that was pushing me towards the greatness within me, and that's the power of the Holy Ghost. And as we celebrate this Pentecostal Sunday, you also have power. You have power to stand and to withstand no matter what comes your way. You have been transformed to transfer. Now listen, here's the issue. We've got to use this power. We've got to stand and focus our eyes on God, not allowing ourselves to be distracted by anything that everyone else does. I don't care what the other churches are doing. I don't care what other organizations are doing. I don't care what the government and its officials are doing. You, as a Christian, you will be held accountable for your actions or the lack thereof. Keep your eyes on the Lord and allow the truth of God's word to now order your steps. This Pentecostal powers, we get caught up, we hunker down on them speaking in tongues. And that's a great moment, a great movement for the church, everybody. Don't you disqualify that. But as we keep moving in the text, they also just didn't speak in tongues, but they spoke in their language about Jesus Christ, the resurrection. Some of y'all speak in tongues and cuss in English, so it can't just be about the tongue speaking. It's about the life we live with this dunamis power living within us. Pray with me now. Father, thank you for the charge. Thank you for the charge this morning. You have saved us, not just to say that I'm saved or to receive the fellowship of others because we say that we're saved. But you have saved us to do a work inside of us so that now we'll never be settled anymore. We won't be settled anymore by allowing stuff to happen to others, allowing them to suffer, and we stand and sit in silence. But we will speak boldly about God's word. We'll pray over it. But even our praying won't slow us down, because these men spoke boldly the word of God. We're not going to be ones that tries to know all of history. We're not going to be ones to try to figure it out on our own. But what we do know is your word. And it's your word that we will stand on. What we do know is this battle is not ours. This battle belongs to you. So, Lord, we thank you for giving us this moment and opportunity to focus all we have on you. And so we thank you. As we prepare to leave this place today, Father, our hearts cry is that we're not going to try to figure it out on our own. We're going to keep our minds and our hearts on you.